Exodus chapter 3. Let's jump in right at the very beginning, verse 1, and then we'll kind of ease ourselves into a whole study of chapter 3 and chapter 4 here this morning. I won't keep you beyond supper, I promise. Here we go. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us now as we study your word together. Help us to be drawn to you through it. God, I ask that your word would go forth with great power, that there would be someone here this morning that would be touched and moved to greater service for you through this message. If there's anyone here this morning that does not know your Son as Savior, may today they realize and recognize how desperately you love them and desire for them to come to know Christ. And I pray that this morning would be that morning. Bless this service now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's Moses. He's feeding the flock out there on the backside of the desert. And he looks over and he sees a bush burning, but the bush itself isn't burning. There's just fire all around it, but the bush isn't burning. And what happens is God uses this to simply get Moses' attention. I want to start there. I want you to think for just a moment what God might have done in your life this last week, the last month, last year, whatever it might happen to be, to get your attention. Do you believe that God is still in the same business of getting our attention? Yes, he is. And so God sometimes gives us a wake-up call, something, you know, happens that either is like a really close call or something really bad does happen, whatever it might happen to be, and God gets our attention. All of us have had some time in our life in which God has attempted, anyway, to get our attention. Well, let's learn something from Moses here. The Bible says that Moses saw the bush burning but not consumed, and Moses turned aside. Let's stop for a moment this morning. Let's assume that God has done whatever he's doing in your life to get you to this point right here. Let's, like Moses, at least give God an ear this morning, would you? Give him your attention. Give him a chance to tell you what it is he wants to do now that he's gotten your attention. Sometimes it's one of those phone calls from a doctor. Sometimes it's an accident. Sometimes it's a near miss. Sometimes it's just that things are going so incredibly well that God has gotten your attention, whatever it might happen to be. Let's let God have our attention this morning. God, I believe, has something for everyone here. Now, if you don't believe that, I have to honestly ask you, why are you here? You know, I mean, if you didn't come to get something, if you're only coming out of habit, well, this is what we're supposed to do. We get up on Sunday morning, it's like, time to make the donuts. You know, no. Those of you who are old enough to remember that commercial, you know, we're not zombies in our Christian walk just getting up and going through the motions, but we come to church with the expectation that the God of heaven has something for us. And I believe that that God of heaven has been working to get your attention this week. And so whatever he has, listen up. It's going to be important. And so Moses turns aside to pay attention to what God is doing. Let's keep going now. In verse 4, it says, and when the Lord saw, this is an important phrase right here, when the Lord saw that he turned aside. You know why some of you have yet to see God do something in your life? Is because when God tries to get your attention, he's never successful enough to turn us aside. But if we will ever stop and say, okay, Lord, I'm listening, then, when the Lord sees that he's gotten our attention, he takes the next step. That's a really important thing. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside, keep reading in verse 4 to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. In verse 5, he says, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now, I want to point something else out. There's another story of later on in Moses' life where God has a chance to respond to where Moses has a chance to respond to God as God is speaking. And the Bible says that the power of God comes down upon this mountain, and there's smoke, and there's lightning, and there's thunderings, and there's noise. And the children of Israel, Moses says, let's go, and takes a step forward, and the children of Israel take two steps back. And they say, Moses, you go, tell us what God has to say. And if I can just be very blunt for a moment, know that I love you. The reason many Christians never get past God's attention getter, God's trying to get our attention, is because it scares us to death to step onto holy ground. And we'd just as soon be like the children of Israel. Moses, you go. You tell us what God has to say. But listen up. I think God has something for everyone here this morning. And I want you to, for a moment, if we can, in our minds, put off our shoes and prepare to step onto holy ground. When God speaks to his children, something is about to happen. And this is not a place that we approach lightly. You're not going to come to church flippantly and walk out of here with something. But if we will approach God this morning as if we are approaching holy ground, I believe God's ready to do something in our lives. The only question is, will we do this? So God says, don't step any further. Take off your shoes. The place you're about to walk on is holy ground, he says. In verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses, look what it says, hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, this is all just introduction, all right? So here's Moses. God's gotten his attention. Here's Moses. He recognizes that the next step he takes is on holy ground. Here's Moses, and he understands that coming into the presence of God is not something to be taken lightly. And Moses hides his face, for he's afraid to look upon God. And folks, if you and I will start this message there, when we get to the end of this thing, God will have spoken to us. But if we're not willing to let God get our attention, to treat with seriousness what God's trying to do, and approach God with fear and trembling, if we're not willing to do that, we're going to miss out. And you'll walk out of here and say, it was all right. And you're going to blame it on your pastor, and your pastor has nothing to do with it. A donkey can do my job. I can prove that from the scripture. God uses a donkey to speak in the scripture. I'm not the important part of this equation. We have a God with whom we have to do, who wants to speak to the hearts of his people. Are we ready to listen? That's where it comes into now. So let's see what the rest of this conversation looks like. And it is interesting because Brother Dennis has no idea what I'm going to speak on. And I love his little, pre-message there at the beginning of the song. You know, he says, you know what? It scares me to death to get up here and speak. But he says, I want to encourage all of you to use your talents for the Lord. You can kind of see where this one's going. That's what God wants from his people. Can I back up for just a moment? If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, your Savior, if you can't say, if I died today, I know for a fact that I would go to heaven, not because I've done anything in particular, not because I've been a good person, but because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. His death on the cross has been applied to my life, and the penalty and the payment for my sin is gone because Jesus Christ has met that penalty. If you don't know that you're a Christian, then the rest of this is really more about God's getting your attention so that you will come to know Christ as Savior. But for every one of God's people, he wants you to go even the next step. Let's take a look at it. So God says to Moses in verse 8, I am come down to deliver them. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, and they are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming before me, and I also have seen the oppression therewith. I love this. You know what's coming. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send, what's the word? Thee. Come now, Moses, and I will send you to do a job that I have for you to do. Now, do you know why it is that many Christians get in the habit of walking right past the burning bush? Uh-oh, I know what that means. And we look the other way. We have no desire to take the step onto holy ground, because once we're on holy ground, we know in our hearts what God's going to do. God's going to say, I've got something I want you to do. And we are content. Pastor, just leave me alone. I'm happy right where I am. So I don't need to step onto holy ground this morning. I'm content to stay right where I'm at. And that's a dangerous place to be, Christian. But if we want to grow closer to the Lord, draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto us. If we're willing this morning to let Him get our attention and to pay attention to what's going on and take that step onto holy ground, God has something for you. And listen to what He says. Moses, I want to send you to do this job. Now, you know the rest of this story, perhaps. We're going to walk through it one step at a time. I want you to see how incredibly like us Moses is. You know, Moses, the Bible literally tells us that Moses was, at his time, the meekest man on the planet. So the Bible says, doesn't use the word planet, but it says that there is no one as meek as Moses. That's a huge statement coming from the God of heaven, who knows everything, right? Meek, meaning he's humble and willing to put himself and his needs and his wants aside so that he can be used. He's meek. And that's an amazing thing. Well, you know, so sometimes we put these guys, we read them in the Bible, well, of course, Moses could do it. Of course, Paul could do it. Of course, you know, James could do that. But, you know, here I am. I'm just little old John, 21st century Christianity. And it's different for us. And that's what we convince ourselves of. But I want to show you just how like us Moses is. Take a look, if you would, please, at verse 11. And Moses said unto God. Now, this is the same Moses who took off his shoes to step onto holy ground and would not so much as lift up his face for fear of God, right? And God says, Moses, I'm going to send you to Egypt to get my children free. And Moses says in verse 11, unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? God, I'm a nobody. God, why would you want to use me to do any of this? God, don't you recognize who I am? God, I'm the guy with sheep out in the middle of nowhere. I'm nobody. I think you may have gotten the wrong person, Lord. This is Moses here. You know, and so Moses is literally questioning what God would have him to do. And it's possible that you have already had the Spirit of God kind of tweak your heart and your mind about getting involved in one of our children's churches or Vacation Bible School or getting involved in one of our teen ministries or one of our Golden Prayer Warriors ministries, or we have two nursing home ministries and hospital visits and whatever. You know, you keep filling in the blank. And God, I'm that's just not me. That's not my personality. God, I am Moses. And who am I? I am not worthy, God. I am not able. I am not this great. Let me show you something. You know what God does not do? God does not say, oh, Moses, don't talk like that. You're a wonderful guy. You can do anything you put your mind to. God does not say that to Moses. God doesn't say, oh, poor Moses, he's got an image problem. God does not say that to Moses. You know what God says? Moses, well, let's read what God says. Go down, if you would, to verse 12. And God said, certainly I will be with you. God says, Moses, you're right. You are a nobody on the backside of the desert. But it's not about you. It's about me. I'm going to be the one doing this through you, Moses. So don't worry about it. Okay, so you don't feel equipped. So you're not this great personality. So you haven't had all of this training to do public speaking, whatever. You know, fill in the blank. God says, it's not about you, Moses. And I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you every step of the way. So, you know, God doesn't argue with Moses. He just simply says, hey, I'll be with you. Go down to verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come, and we probably should read that, if, okay, Lord, if I do this, Lord, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Wow, God, you know, Moses is like, you know, I don't even know where to begin this conversation, God. I'm going to say, hey, God sent me. And they're going to say, who? And what am I supposed to say? And so God says, don't worry, I'll show you. Moses, I promise you, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Take a look at it. God says unto Moses, I am that I am. And thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. But verse 15, God says moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, hath sent you. Go, gather the elders. Go, do these things. I'm going to be with you. Go down to verse 4, if you would, or chapter 4, I'm sorry. And let's start. Take a look at verse 1. And Moses, now, Moses, this is the same Moses who took off his shoes, dared to step onto holy ground, and begin a conversation with God. And I'm hoping that's where you are already this morning. I'm hoping that we've taken the step together on the holy ground. God has gotten our attention and we're listening. So the conversation has started. So the conversation would be something like this for you and I today. God, I'm going to step on the holy ground. Why, God, have you tried to get my attention? God, what is it you're wanting me to do? And already, God might be nudging your heart about what it is he would have you to do. And already, you may be quivering in your boots, not because you're standing before God, but because the job he's laying upon your heart is scaring you half to death. And that same God of Moses would say to you and I, I'm going to be with you. Don't worry, when you're facing a room full of fourth graders, and they are scary, I'll be with you. They're not nearly as scary as teenagers. But I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. Just, I'm going to be with you. Relax. Don't worry. When you go up to knock on that door of that person who you've never met before and you want to invite them to church, I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you. Every step of the way. And so here now we're like Moses. We're trying to talk ourselves out of it. Okay, I took this step. I got onto holy ground. Now, how do I get out of here? God, you got the wrong person. I think it's somebody else you meant. No, I meant you, Moses. I'll be with you. God, I don't know what to say. Well, here's what you're going to say. I'll be with you. Go down to chapter 4 and verse 1. And Moses answered the Lord and said, but behold, they will not believe. What's that next word? They will not believe. Now, remember, what did we already say? Moses, it's not about you. Do you understand? It's not about you, Moses. It's about me. They don't have to believe in you. They need to believe in me. But Moses is still stuck on this, right? He's like, Lord, what do I do? They won't believe me when I go, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Wow. Moses can't make that switch to recognize that, yes, while he's nobody, he's serving the God who is everything. And it's about God. And so what am I going to do, God? They won't believe me. We'll take a look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? Can you just hear this conversation now? Really, can I be honest with you here? Who's struggling with believing? Children of Israel aren't even in the equation yet, right? Moses says, when I go talk to them, they won't believe. The children of Israel aren't even in this conversation yet. The person struggling to believe is Moses. The person struggling to trust God is not the person who's already out there doing. It's that person sitting here this morning who God is laying it upon your heart to do something, and you're struggling to trust him with it, and you've been carrying on this conversation with God for weeks. God, you got the wrong person. God, I'm not really equipped to do this. God, I don't know what to say. God, they won't believe me. And God keeps coming back. Trust me. I'm going to be with you. It's not about you. It's about me. So take a look at verse 2 again. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, or I'm sorry, the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, it's a rod or a stick or a shepherd's staff or whatever. And he says, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a snake, a serpent. That makes you feel really good, doesn't it? Makes you think twice the next time you go out in the woods and pick up that walking stick. But anyways, and it becomes a serpent. And Moses fled from before it, like most of us probably would. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is the part that gets really hard. Now look what God is doing. God says, Moses, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to show you how you can trust me. And God has already put many of us in this place right here, where we've been having this conversation with God. We've dared to step onto holy ground and let God say, okay, here's what I want you to do. But then when it comes time to actually start doing it, we start backing out and backpedaling, and we start having this conversation with God. So God puts something in our lives to prove to ourselves that we can trust him. God says, now Moses, pick up the stick. Think about this. I mean, Moses was scared to death. I mean, God said, what's that in your hand? A stick? Throw it down. Whoa, it becomes a snake. And the Bible says that he fled from it. And then God says, Moses, pick up the stick. Trust me, Moses. Because the God, we get amazed that God turned the stick into a snake. But I'm telling you, the challenge of this was that God was teaching Moses to trust him. Moses, pick up the stick. And so many times, here we are, we've had this conversation with God, and God has brought us to the point of saying, okay, here's what I want from you. And then we begin to backpedal. And so God puts something into our lives to show us that we can trust him. To show us that we can depend upon him. That it's not about us. That Moses is still saying, they won't trust me, they won't believe me. They're going to say, who are you? And God says, pick up the stick, Moses. Because it's not about you. And the God who allows you to walk over to a serpent that scares you to death and reach down and pick it up. The God who allows you to endure cancer so that you can learn to trust in him. The God who puts you in a unique financial situation or job situation so that you can find out afresh and anew that same God who you trusted for eternal salvation can get you through this circumstance. And when we learn to trust God and quit looking to ourselves, it's amazing. God's wooing Moses back. Look, this is an interesting thing. Where's Moses when he has the stick? Shoes off and he's on holy ground. Okay, throws the stick down and becomes a serpent. He flees. My guess is he's off the holy ground. But you know what? This is an amazing thing to me. God doesn't send the stick to Moses. He could have. God brings Moses back to the stick. Pick it up, Moses. God brings us back to the foot of the cross and says, you can trust me with whatever service I ask of you. You can trust me. Pick up the stick. And I think that's probably where most Christians are today. We've toyed with the holy ground. And it's time for us to trust God enough to pick up a stick. to pick up that serpent and know that God is going to do through us, in us, what we cannot do ourselves. I'm amazed as I read these things. God never once argues with Moses to convince Moses otherwise. God never says, "Oh, Moses, you can really do this. I've got confidence in you." Never does that. God always brings it back to himself. And that's where it is for us. Some of you need to get off of your terrified thing of singing a special like Brother Dennis. God's given you voice, the ability, but you're scared half out of your wits. Well, join the club. Pick up the stick. We're all afraid. It's a scary thing to be used of God. But this is where God wants to put us. So, you know, in verse 2, there it is. There's God doing that. Go down to verse 10, if you would, please. Lord said to Moses, I'm sorry, unto the Lord's in verse 10, yeah. The Lord said, spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. Now, I have to tell you, this is a big thing. God hasn't really called me to do big things like this, it seems like. You know, God hasn't said, go, let's see, John, I want you to go over to the king of, or the president of Iran and tell him he needs to leave those Christians alone. You get the idea? I mean, that's where Moses is. He's going into a foreign country and telling the leader of the foreign country that God said, stop doing that. Let my people go. It's a big deal. This is fortunately for us, you know, the battle that we're having with the Lord this morning is, do I volunteer to make lemonade for Vacation Bible School, or is that too much of a commitment for my time schedule? You get the idea? Yeah, that's what, kind of where we are. It's like, pick up the stick. Yes, go, volunteer, please. God will get you through it. But, you know, God's given Moses quite a bit to do here. Take a look then at verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto him, oops, I'm sorry, I skipped a page. No wonder I was having so much trouble. I thought, that's not the word I'm trying to read. Go down to verse 10. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Now, I want to see, this could be many sitting here this morning. Pastor, you're barking up the wrong tree. God didn't make me to do things like this. This is God. Moses is talking to his creator and telling him about himself. Can you see this picture? Like God doesn't know everything about Moses already. Lord, I'm not eloquent. Lord, I'm not equipped to do the job that you've called me in to do. This is, Lord, I have a tendency to stutter, and that reminds me, there's a great joke. If you stutter, please don't be offended. I love you, and so does God, and it's just, we all do sometime or another. But there's a, let me give you this joke real quickly. So this guy had a really bad stutter, and he wanted to do something in the church, and the pastor couldn't think of anything for him to do, but somebody had given the church a box of Bibles, and he said, you know what? He said, you go sell these Bibles, and we'll donate them to a missionary, and we'll do it that way. Send him off on his way. And the guy came back and said, Pastor, I need some more Bibles. And the pastor's amazed. What? You sold a whole box of Bibles? How'd you do that? And the guy said, I would say to people, do you want to buy a Bible, or do you want me to read it to you? Oh my, all right. That's Moses, right? Moses is the stutterer. He can't get things like, Lord, I'm not eloquent at this. I can't make this happen. You know, and God's going to speak to Moses here. Take a look at verse 11. The Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth? Hello, Moses. Who made you? Do you know that the God who is asking you to do whatever he's laid on your heart this morning is the God who knows what he's given you the ability to do? He knows. He knows everything about you and I. And he is fully aware of what he is asking of us. And so he says, Moses, who made you? Who made your mouth? I mean, this is, again, Moses, it's not about you. I made you. Trust me. How many times do I have to say this? Go down to verse 14. Apparently, one more time. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by thy hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, Lord, send someone else. You know, we should, I'm just going to be Frank or John, but we should have a choir loft full of people. Do you know how I know that? I walk all over this congregation shaking hands during the song services. Have you ever noticed that? I hardly ever sit still. Now, part of that's just because I just don't like to sit still. You know, that's one of the reasons. No, I'm just one of the reasons I preach is so I don't have to be where you are. I'm just kidding. That's not true. God's called me. But you know, I'm you know what I hear? I hear people singing, and I think to myself, wow, they should be doing something with that voice. And I imagine in your mind, you have gone over this argument with the Lord 1,000 times until you finally get exasperated and say, Lord, just send somebody else. I don't want to do it. Send somebody else. And I love the way Moses says this. Lord, send whoever else you want to send. And God says, Moses, I am sending the one I want to send. Pay attention. I got your attention. You stepped onto holy ground. I've proven that you can trust me. Pick up the stick. And Moses, it's not about you. It's about me. Now, would you step out and do what God is asking you to do? It's not about you. It's about him. And literally, the Bible says, take a look at it, verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You know, God has been patient, God has been understanding, God has been kind, but there will come a point when you keep arguing with God and making your excuses and telling God why you can't, why you won't, why you shouldn't, why it should be somebody else, that the God of heaven is going to be angry that you and I, having learned to trust him, still won't do so. What's it going to be, Christian? What's it going to take for God to get you out of the pew